on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. This is Mornings with Leon Compton.
Coronavirus. We've been talking about little else for the past, well, since March, when the reality of coronavirus and what it might mean for the community has been visiting not just us here in Tasmania, but communities right around the world. But what about the way that the COVID-19 story and all of the complications that come with it have been affecting the most vulnerable in our community? How have the lockdowns and the border closures and the difficulties accessing medical care, both here and, say, in Melbourne, where a lot of Tasmanians go to seek medical care, been impacting people's health outcomes? In a moment, I'll introduce you to a young woman who lost her 16-year-old son, Jack, on the 8th of June. Jack had epilepsy. But first, I want to say good morning to Wendy Groot, the CEO of Epilepsy Tasmania. Wendy, good morning to you.
Hello, Leon.
Nice to see you in here. Wendy, how has the coronavirus pandemic affected people living with epilepsy in Tasmania?
It's affected people with epilepsy much the same as it's affected many people in the community, but it's in some cases it's just spiked a little bit more of an increase. So people with epilepsy already feel that they are isolated and that they are physically and socially distanced from people. So the impact of the COVID virus has meant that that has increased. So they've lost contact with some of their support people. They haven't had family that have been able to visit them or for them to be able to visit. They haven't been able to go out and do some of their social activities and interactions with people that they would normally do. So having a moat has been helpful in some ways, but in other ways it's actually created bigger problems. So, for example, on the northwest coast and in the north in particular, the private neurologists that would fly into the state stopped flying in, which meant that they were doing telehealth or Zoom meetings with people. And what we're hearing more is that people are finding that that's really difficult, because people with epilepsy have trouble with moods and memory and communications, and being doing that through a telephone and not face-to-face meant that they're not actually getting the best health outcomes that they require.
And for people with particularly complex cases that require flying interstate to access treatment, places like Melbourne, that must have been very difficult.
Yeah, so we're hearing more and more now that the increase for us at the moment is people are frustrated that they're not able to go to Melbourne to have their scheduled treatment, and that's causing them greater anxiety and then, again, increased seizure activities and all the other things associated with that. Mm.
Let's introduce our other guest this morning. Penny Flanagan has been good enough to come into the studio this morning. Penny, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Penny, you lost your 16-year-old son, Jack, on the 8th of June. Firstly, can I just start this interview by saying I'm so sorry
for your loss.
That must be
devastating.
Incredibly,
really sad.
Incredibly difficult.
Very sad.
Can you tell us a little bit about Jack and his challenges with epilepsy through his life?
So Jack was 16, but diagnosed with epilepsy kind of later in life. He was autistic. We only found out also later in life that he had autism. So I think, as far as I know and research and stuff like that, that autism and epilepsy kind of sometimes align. Jack used to have seizures, and it started as night terrors, I suppose, and then they kind of evolved later through his kind of early teens, where he ended up having full-blown seizures, ranging from anything from an absent seizure where you kind of stare off into space down to something as far as you basically having a fit on the floor and your arms and legs are flying everywhere. So, quite scary. A lot of ambulance calls, having not known, how it all happens and all that type of thing. So knocking his head and things like that on bedside tables and what have you. But it kind of evolved, and he was on medication Epilum morning and night, 700 mils. But being autistic as well, he sometimes struggled to remember sometimes to take his medication as well. So,
And how challenging were those last few months of Jack's life? And again, I understand this is incredibly difficult to talk about, but how challenging was that for you as mum, helping him manage that at a time when some of the medical services that Wendy's talking about that you rely on were more difficult to access?
Absolutely. Look, it COVID was actually probably a bit made Jack struggle a little in terms of his anxiety went through the roof, basically, because he wasn't able to see his friends at school and things like that, and even down to his learning. Yeah, doing it through a Zoom meeting and things like that through school. So we ended up, because I was an essential worker, I ended up sending him back to school because it just suited his needs better. But in terms of any medical care and everything like that, he was seeing a psychologist as well. But he just wasn't able to communicate as well. He felt a bit shut off in terms of, yeah, being able to express himself via just a computer screen and things like that. So it actually made his anxiety a lot worse in terms of that. And also hearing the media about coronavirus and stuff was scary for him.
And particularly for 16-year-olds, you're hyper aware of it. It's easy to shield 5-year-olds from it relatively,
definitely.
But 16-year-olds are in the full force of seeing that unfold around them.
Yeah, so in terms of, he did struggle a bit, but then obviously he wasn't having as many seizures. He probably had been medicated quite well lately, but obviously his anxiety, he'd still have some nighttime ones that we weren't as aware of type thing. But, obviously on his last day and stuff like that where he passed away, I think we still haven't heard from the coroner's office exactly what happened. We're still waiting and it's 6 weeks on. But obviously with COVID, they've only got a certain amount of staff as well to be able to actually conclude what happened. But there's a thing called SUDEPS. And it's actually where epileptic children just suddenly pass away. And Wendy probably knows the terminology and stuff. And it's just a sudden death due to epilepsy type thing. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what happened. And his whole funeral arrangements and everything was very different, obviously, because you could only invite 50 people into the room. And there were so many kids at the school who wanted to say their goodbyes and all that type of thing as well. So
it must have been incredibly
very traumatic.
Oh, I can imagine it is. And again, you know, we're so appreciative of your bravery in coming in and sharing a bit of your experience and helping make the point that Wendy's talking about the challenges that some of our vulnerable Tasmanians have been trying to manage and manage through this COVID-19.
I can only imagine those poor families who, obviously, epilepsy is trying to reach out to them and stuff like that. And, they're struggling and what have you. But, it's very sad.
Wendy Group, what is the message that we can get out to our audience this morning in Tasmania about getting through this? Because a lot of those restrictions on medical practitioners will continue foreseeably right through until Christmas.
I think we've put a lot of resources on our website. So we've created a COVID tab on our website with a lot of resources that people can read in that. We are, everybody with epilepsy has what's called an epilepsy management plan. And what we're doing at the moment, we're having an increase of being able to provide those for people because people can't access their GPs. So the GPs need to sign on that, but often it takes quite a lot of time to produce that. So if people haven't got an epilepsy management plan and they would like one, get in touch with us and we can do that for them.
And am I right that you've set up a helpline to
We developed a new telephone call service. So we've been actively calling people and we've had of the people that we rang, a third of them have been getting weekly calls. And so we've been giving people over the last 3 months, some people have had up to 7 calls, which we wouldn't normally even speak to them. So if people want us to reach out and ring them and actively check in on them, we're very willing to do that. And they just need to give us a call or hop on the website and put a referral through that way.
And so just check in on them, make sure that they're travelling okay. And
that's right. We've got, so it's basically just a health and wellbeing check-in. Do you have the resources that you need? Do you need to talk to somebody? We refer them on if they need to. We have a registered nurse and a registered social worker on staff so they can provide those expertise.
Wendy, how concerned are you about the situation in Victoria at the moment where they're really grappling to try and get on top of the COVID-19 story, and I think they're in stage 3 maybe of lockdown, but we know that they're in serious lockdown, mandatory masks, very little ability to move around and so on.
I think it's pretty frightening. I mean, like many Tasmanians, we have relatives, family that live in Melbourne, so our anxiety gets heightened around our own family, particularly those that are in the risk category. But just the fact that it feels like it's creeping closer, but just keeping the reality check in that that's Victoria and we're Tasmania. And we need to do our very, very best to keep ourselves healthy and look out for each other here as best we can.
Penny It sounds like, from what we can see, there's been an enormous outflowing of generosity from the community on the passing of Jack. It sounds like he's left quite a legacy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Definitely. Well, just even the school that Jack went to as well, the students within the school from grade 10, Jack was in grade 10, they basically reached out and, contributed and did like a money train spelling out for Jack, which was so lovely, and donated to epilepsy. And we raised, I think it was quite a lot of money in the thousands.
Yes, it was fantastic.
And also with Jack's funeral and stuff like that, obviously I'm on social media, so Facebook, I just wrote, in lieu of sending us flowers, my ex-husband Simon and myself flowers, could you please, donate to Epilepsy Tasmania? And at that point, there was $3,000 raised, which was really nice. And Jack's funeral, there was an epilepsy box as well, and also for autism as well. So we did a bit of fundraising for both. And I think there's a lot of people out there who don't realise, and I actually never called Epilepsy Tasmania.
Really?
I wasn't aware. So although I knew that Jack had epilepsy, I didn't realise what they did until now. So I really think there's a strong awareness that we have to put out to the community to say, ring Epilepsy Tasmania and Autism Tasmania, because they do have fantastic support for Tasmanians out there.
So reach out and help. If people want to get in touch with you, Wendy Groot, as the CEO of Epilepsy Tasmania, how can they do it? What's the best way to make contact?
Telephone us. If you hop onto our website, which is epilepsytasmania.org.au, and you'll see a phone number on there, people can actually do a referral online and it goes straight through, and then we respond sort of within 24 hours, or they just give us a call. We've got located all across the state, so people can access us from anywhere in the state.
How many Tasmanians might be living with epilepsy?
We say a fifth of Tasmania's population is either living with or affected by epilepsy.
So that's 100,000 people.
Yep. So you've got 20,000 Tasmanians are actually living with epilepsy, and then around those people you've got at least four people that are supporting them or caring for them. So a fifth of Tasmania's population is quite significant.
And like Penny, how many people do you think aren't aware that perhaps there are as many, or haven't been made aware that there are as many services out there as they could possibly
I think
access?
That's the reality that we live with, unfortunately. We've got some Tasmanian research that is also on our website that actually clarifies, it's only been released at the beginning of this year, that tells the actual picture of what epilepsy looks like in Tasmania and talks about SUDEP and the other conditions. And we've also got a number of podcasts that we released in March with Tasmanians telling their stories. So there's 12 podcasts of Tasmanians telling their stories of what epilepsy is like for them, either with epilepsy or supporting someone. So if people want to listen and understand a little bit more about what it's like for people with epilepsy, hop on the website. There's a whole whack of resources up there. And we also have a couple of Facebook pages and closed groups that we've created through COVID as well, which are working really well.
And through the tragedy of Jack's passing, sounds like you've made managed to generate a significant amount of revenue. What are you going to do with that money that Jack's passing and that through Penny's
efforts? That money's being directed straight back to families. So that's not money that we're using for the organisations as such. We're directing it back to our staff as they provide the epilepsy management plans or the ongoing support. And as I said, the telephone service isn't funded, so the money's going towards supporting that as well.
How does it make you feel, Penny, that'll go to helping others?
Yeah, that's absolutely terrific. That's really nice. It's nice that it's being put to good use, and Jack's basically contributed to this fantastic foundation. So,
Penny Flanagan, can I just thank you so much for coming into the studio,
Leon,
this morning and helping us through our platform through the ABC, raising some awareness.
Thank you. And thank you also to Wendy, basically, for Epilepsy Tasmania as well, for passing on those wonderful funds as well.
Penny Flanagan, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank
Wendy Groot, thank you to you as well.
Thank you,
if
Leon.
People want to learn a little bit more, maybe register, maybe get some help with an epilepsy management plan in challenging times at the moment, look up Epilepsy Tasmania and get in touch. You can do it the old-fashioned way. You can give them a phone call and have somebody answer at the other end of the line in Tasmania, which is always nice. Thank you to both of you.